Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're talking with author Laurie Seltzer about her book, In the Stillness of Dawn. Welcome, Laurie. About time we got connected.
Yay.
Yay. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing very well, thank you.
That's great. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, well. Well, I'm from a very little town in western New York called Eden, of all things. And I'm currently living in Australia, in a beautiful country. I've got four books out. In the Stillness of Dawn is the sequel to A Kiss Before Dawn, which will be re-released here very quickly. Then Right Out of Nowhere will be released coming up in the next few months, I'm hoping. Then there's Positive Lightning, which is kind of like the prequel to the sequel for In the Stillness of Dawn. And then I also have a photography book coming out in April of next year.
Cool. That's exciting. And what
made busy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What made you start writing? Did you always want to be an author? Did you write as a child?
I mostly wrote like little short stories and stuff, some poetry. And then when I went to uni, I stopped writing because I had other things on my plate. And my English college professor said, I think you should change your major. And at that point, I was majoring in natural resources conservation. And I looked at her and I said, you got to be out of your mind because this is what I love. And she said, no. She said, I really do think you need to change your major because you write so well. And I said, well, I said, I promise you that someday I will write a book. And so it took 30 years, but I did.
And did you send the professor a copy?
No, unfortunately. She had long passed.
Aw, that's
too
bad.
Yeah, she was an older woman. She was an older professor, really sweet woman. And so unfortunate, but I'm sure she knows.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably smiling up there.
Yeah.
When you are looking for your time to write, do you find it difficult to find the time because of family, friends, people think, at least for me, because I work at home, that they can call any time and say, hey, you want to do this? No, I'm working. Do you have that kind of issue?
No, actually, because I have no family in Australia, obviously, and I live by myself. I don't have a problem like that, other than every once in a while my landlord will come down and want to have a chat, but that's usually early in the morning. And so really the only distractions I have are the dogs.
Your dogs.
So, yeah.
Mommy, feed me.
But, yeah. No, I can pretty much write at any time of the day, all day, part of the day, whatever I choose.
Do you have a favorite author, or or a genre?
I read so many different books. Lesbian, mainstream. I don't really have a favorite author. I just read what I like to read. I pick up a book, and if it appeals, I read.
Are you a cover person, or are you a back cover person?
I guess if I'm going through the bookstore and I see a cover that appeals to me, I'll pick it up. But if the story doesn't, if the story doesn't appeal to me, I'll put it right back down. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, the old saying, can't judge a book by its cover. I've never bought a book by its cover.
I know.
You know what I mean? I never bought a book because of the cover of the book.
No, but I think you know, I make my covers really colorful, so it will attract the eye, like
right.
a you know crow. and then if I can get somebody to pick up the book on that basis, then it's usually I'm hoping that my story is appealing enough that they'll buy the book.
I know. It's like there's so many books, you know. That's another thing. Even if they're just shopping Amazon, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of books.
That's exactly right.
Even in one little category, there's like you're not going to be the only book, no matter what.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, there's just been such an influx of books, lesbian books especially, that and some of them should never have seen the light of day, in my opinion. And because there's such an overpopulation of them, I think that there are some new authors that get overlooked, you know,
yeah.
because they just don't have the experience to, you know, get on Facebook and all the other medias to really market themselves.
That's the problem, is marketing. It is such a nightmare. As an author as well as the host of a show, one of my things is I champion new writers. So I'm pretty open. I don't have a criteria for being on my show. I basically,
mm-hmm.
if you write a book, you can come on my show.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for me, even to get on some shows, it's hard. It, you know,
yeah.
they don't always open their hearts.
Right, yeah.
How did you find your way through the marketing mill?
You know, I use Facebook a lot and my website. And then I just watch what other authors are doing. And then I had just followed their lead, basically. You know, if I saw somebody like on your show, I'd write your name down and contact you and you know other types like that, and you just have to kind of watch what everybody else does.
That's true. I actually learn something new from every person I interview. I mean, it's kind of interesting, not just as an author, just as a person. I learn something from every single interview that I never even thought of. But even when I'm interviewing and somebody says something that's a marketing thing that I don't know about, I say, oh, really? Can you tell us more about that? Because I want to know about it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm always looking. You know, my publisher, Bedazzled, they do what they can, but, you know, it's still most of the onus of marketing is still going to be on the author. But, you know, when Blue Feather Books went under, a lot of people in that stable went indie, and I was asked if I was going to do the same thing, and I thought, you know, I just don't want to have to deal with relearning and learning how to publish my own books and go through all that, because I still have to do marketing to a certain extent, and I have to have time to write my books, and that was something that I didn't want to take away from.
Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to market, though. There's the group tours that they have online. There's, of course, the old-fashioned book signings, which sometimes are very
mm-hmm.
difficult
yeah.
to get
mm-hmm.
and even
yeah.
more difficult to do, because especially if you're a shy author.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which I think everybody's a little bit in that category.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I did San Diego Comic-Con a couple of years ago, and I was terrified. It was my panel. I created it. I did all the work. I ran it. But Let me put it this way. On the way to Comic-Con, I almost exploded a bottle of water because I was squeezing it so hard. You put up a facade of ease, but you really, you're in front of people. You're yourself. You're not hiding behind a mask of any kind. You're you.
Well, that's
and
true. Yeah.
Scary.
That's right. Yeah, it can be. You know, it really can be. But if you kind of, I go into a different mental mode, and so that kind of helps me deal with being around a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have to. I mean, that's what. It's somebody said, "Well, you're an actress." I go, "Well, when you're an actress, you're behind a mask of the character. It's not the same thing."
Yeah. Well, you can kind of be behind the mask of an author to a certain extent too. You know, because you're actually promoting the people that you wrote about in your books.
That's true. That's true. But it's different in each kind of area. A book signing is different than a convention. But they're
absolutely.
Both great. They're fun. Because you get to meet your readers, so it's great.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Have you been to the, forgot what they called the convention for lesbic.
Oh,
it
the
was
GCLS?
In New Orleans. Yeah, have you gone to those? How do you feel about going to a convention to promote your book?
No, I have no problem with that. I went to one when it was in Orlando. God, I don't even remember the year. It was 4 years ago, I think. And no, I don't have any problem doing that. I just for personal and financial reasons, I just haven't been to anyone recently. But I'm hoping to. If I don't get to Washington next year, then I'd like to get to P-Town. But as you can imagine, flying from Australia clear across the ocean and then clear across the United States. But I'll get to one of them. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm hoping to get to one of them.
When you go to a convention or a book signing, what's your feeling about the interaction with the readers?
Oh, I think it's great because nowadays there's been such a big push about getting to know your author, and people love to know little bits and pieces about your life and stuff. And I think that's probably why I've been successful when I put my photography up on Facebook as well, because that's part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you get to rub elbows with your readers, I think that's a fabulous opportunity.
And is your book going to be photography of Australia, or is it just photography of all your travels or your life, or what is it
Yeah,
exactly?
It's pretty much the book of my travels. There's photos of things that in the United States, in Australia. It's just, you know, whatever I've picked. I've co-authored that with my friend Sheila Pearson. She wrote all the text in it. And it's whatever appealed to me and I'm a perfectionist anyway, so if I went through a lot of photos before I would say, you know, it was good enough to put in a book. And then I sent the photo off to Sheila, and then she wrote, a text. And she has such a great talent about when you read her words, you can see the photo. So it's she's paired the photo up with her text really well. So I think it'll be an interesting book.
Some authors paint with their words.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I've always admired that. Jo Rawlings for the Harry Potter. I mean, her words
mm-hmm.
are paintings. I mean, you see it in your head
mm-hmm.
without,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't have to watch the movie. You can see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's how I try to put my readers. I like to make them feel like they're in the middle of the Bitterroot Mountains of Idaho, or riding a horse, or even feeling what it's like to be blind. You know, if I can put a reader in that position, then I know that I have succeeded.
That's great. How did you find the transition of writing a nonfiction book as opposed to a fiction book? A little intimidating? Did you enjoy it? I did it recently. That's why I'm curious.
I haven't written any nonfiction yet. Some of the stuff that I've written, I mean,
the photography book is nonfiction.
Yeah, that's true. That actually just came last year, and it wasn't really hard because I didn't have to write anything. I just supplied the photos, so I had to work my brain in a little bit of a different way. The fiction writing is probably a little bit was easier for me because I could go back and erase things. I could delete sentences and what have you. But in a photograph, you can't. And you could, I guess, through Photoshop and all this other stuff, but I refuse to do that. But you can't fix what you've seen and what that photo tries to tell you.
There's a reality to photos that you don't
Absolutely.
Have any other way, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm not a professional photographer or anything, but when I look through my photo album, especially when I go on my trips that I've gone on, I see
uh-huh.
things in the picture that I don't remember seeing when I was there. Does that make sense?
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons when I take my walks in the morning with the dogs, I don't take a camera with me because I don't want to miss out on some of this, some of that stuff. You know, I'll go out on a photo shoot primarily to take photos. But I also allow myself that downtime where I get to experience stuff and I can take mental pictures instead of putting it on the camera. So
yeah.
It's kind of selfish of me in some respects, but you know, I really, I mean, there are pictures that in my head that will never see the light of day, obviously, just because I didn't have the camera with me. But and sometimes I think, oh, I should have had my camera with me, but you know, it's in my head. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, because I'm not a good photographer. In fact, I really am a bad photographer. But I like to take pictures for myself. And I put
uh-huh.
them up, and I like, because like you, I'm a perfectionist. If I don't
mm-hmm.
find it perfect, then I just don't like it. But,
well, yeah.
But I have them for myself. I mean, like trips that I don't know if I'll ever go on again.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that are precious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. My my niece, my father passed away a year ago, and I just found out that my niece has a whole collection of photos of my dad. And I thought, I don't have that many photos of my family. And so she's gonna send me a bunch of the photos, and I'm really excited about that because some of them have my grandparents in them and with me and my dad and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, those are really precious, the pictures of family that passed on, like
mm-hmm.
my dad, too, and my grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're precious, and you know, because I miss them terribly,
mm-hmm.
and you know, but my pictures of my dad are everywhere. in fact, it keeps looking at me on my desk.
No, but so well, I dedicated my first book, A Kiss Before Dawn, and In the Stillness of Dawn, to my grandmother, because she meant so much to me.
Yeah, I know. I dedicated Fantasy Time Inc. to my dad because, like you, he meant everything. I mean, he was like the biggest supporter. When I wrote my first book, he was so cute. A friend of mine came up with a cover. It's not the cover that was used by the publisher, but my dad took it like a flyer. He ran them and gave it to every person in his office.
Oh, really?
This was before it was published.
Unfortunately, my gram never, she wasn't alive when I started writing. But I'm sure she knows that I've done what I've done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Dad passed when I did Fantasy. So, in fact, I almost didn't write a second book. My mom and my brother both said, you know, your dad is going to be very angry at you if you stop writing because of grieving for him.
Mm-hmm.
I go, yeah, you're right. He would be. Because he's now, and he's so much, you know, your dad is so much a part of you, you know. Part of, well, your parents are, your mom and your dad.
Right. That's right.
But, I mean, my mom's still here. What did you do when you first got your first book and you got it in your little hands and you were able to, was it like Christmas or your birthday? Did you scream? How excited were you when you got your first book?
You know, I kept looking at it. Like, it just didn't seem real to me because it was, I had done so much work to get that book out. And I didn't read it again because I had done so much work on that. I had to read it like 6 and 8 times. And I just, by the time it finally went to print, I hated the book. I hated reading it. So it took me 2 years before I read it again. But just having that book in my hand and seeing my name on it, it was such a feeling of accomplishment. Just because I had done so much work on it. But you know what? It never, ever changes because every book that I write is always a huge accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you just, I mean, it's always the same feeling.
Tears, it's a birth.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So it never changes.
We were talking a little bit about it. How do you feel about the different types of publishing? I know you said you don't want it for yourself, but how do you feel about independent publishers and the other types of small press?
You know, I give independent publishers a lot of credit for doing what they do. I have some very close friends that are independent publishers, and I give them so much credit for everything, for being able to have the time to write the book and then finally, you know, to get it out in to the readers. It's just an amazing accomplishment. Small presses, boy, they just have to keep working and working at it because they've got some big publishers that just seem to shadow and who put out so many more books. So, you know, for them to get those books out to a reader and even up in, you know, up in the spotlight so that they are noticed, I give them a lot of credit.
Okay. And we only have about 5 minutes. Do you have any events, either online or in person, that you have coming up?
No, not yet. Working on a few, but I don't have anything in the works right now.
Other than
I'm hoping to get to either P-Town or the GCS in 2016. But, you know, even that I can't say for sure yet.
Nothing online? No blog tours or anything like that?
No, I'm always available for questions. If somebody wants to send me a personal message or whatever, email me about, you know, something that they saw in the book or questions or comments or stuff, I'm always available. I will always respond.
And can you give your website address out?
Well, I'm going to be launching a new one in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be lauriesalzler.com. But right now, it's lauriesalzler1 at WordPress.
Okay. And you're on Facebook. Is it under
yes.
your name or is okay?
Yep.
Do you have a
yeah,
page?
It's under my name. No,
page?
Just Lori Salzler because I just put everything on my wall.
Okay. And now my last question is a new one that I've been asking people this season. What is your greatest passion?
My greatest passion is just being outside. I think I get so much power from trees, and I know that's going to sound very weird, but that being out in the woods, being out in the bush is just something that settles me, and it's just a healing. It heals me for whatever reason. My passion is just to be outside with my dogs. That helps.
And with your dogs.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lori. I hope you enjoyed your time on the show.
I have. Thank you so much, Sherry.
That's great. Thank you. And okay. thank you for chatting with Sherry.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.